In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Today we hear of the call of Moses, and we hear Jesus making clear his call to his disciples. And whenever we read the gospel and gather for worship, I know at least I'm trying to figure out my call and all that, and I trust that is something that falls on all of us. What is our call to faithfulness, and what is our call to labor for the coming of God's reign and God's kingdom? Moses was born long after those first people of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, all those who had gone before. And then there was a long time had passed when there arose in Egypt a Pharaoh who did not remember Joseph, one of Jacob's, Israel's sons, who had ruled over Egypt and saved it during that time of famine. So remembering not Joseph, the people of Israel fell into slavery in Egypt, and Moses was now being called to bring them out. And it tells of this call where Moses was out keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, and then he sees fire out of a bush. It says he looked, the bush was blazing, yet was not consumed. And how is it that the bush was not burned up? And the voice of God came to him and told him to take his sandals from his feet. He was on holy ground. And he was there able to listen to God and actually be before the face of God and live. For he, as all were terrified by the presence of the holy God. And he gets this call to go bring the people out of Egypt. And he's deeply aware of his own inadequacies. And he says, how can I do this? And how can I go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And he gets an assurance from God that God will be with him. And he says, who shall I say sent me? And God says, I am who I am. You don't say much after that. It's like, I am existence itself. That's who's sending you. And by the way, I am who I am. Existence itself happens to be the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. That's who's sent me to you. So say that. And so Moses was commissioned for his work in bringing about the reign of God. Jesus had to explain to his disciples that their idea of what it was Jesus was called to do was not going to be adequate to what he was called to do. They had hoped for a Messiah and thought they saw in Jesus a Messiah that would just lead them into a victory over all that oppressed them and lead them into victory over the occupying Romans, and that it would lead to a transformation into a larger vision of the worship of God. And but then he had to explain to his followers, this isn't the pathway that I am called to walk. The pathway I am called to walk involves setting my face towards Jerusalem. This is a great turning point in the Gospels. He had been in Galilee. The crowds had been following, 5,000 at a time. He'd try and get away from them. He'd run away, get into a boat, go down. They'd look at his boat and run along the shore till they caught up with him, and he'd get out of the boat, and there they were again. And he kept having the crowds follow him. But now he has turned his face towards Jerusalem, and the crowds would begin to thin. And he said he had to undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised, whatever that meant. And Peter, the vocal and impulsive one, said to him, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." And if to mark this fork in the road, this deep setting of the course towards Jerusalem, Jesus rebukes Peter in the strongest possible words, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are a stumbling block to me. You're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." It explains to the disciples, if you want to follow me, follow me, and it will take you on a path where you are going to follow me in my path of suffering. Those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. And what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? This is when the gospel moves from being good news to being, we're not sure it's good news. It's like, what are you telling us? In our own prayers, though, the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Lead us not into temptation." In a stronger translation, it doesn't flow off the tongue, so we hardly use it, but it says, "Do not bring us to the time of trial." Or a more blunt translation says, "Oh, do not bring us to the test." In other words, our prayer is that, oh God, you went to the cross. May we not have to do that. May we be able to follow you without being brought to that ultimate test. And our prayer is that God has gone before us. God has suffered on our behalf. May, if it passes from us, may we be faithful in a way in which we do not need to fall into that ultimate kind of testing. And we rely upon God's grace to precede and follow us, not to get us off the hook, but simply say, Jesus is the Son of God. Thank God. Jesus led that pathway to Jerusalem. Jesus underwent the suffering and death and resurrection. And may he carry us with him in that, so that we do not have to bear it, yet we too may be able to labor for God's reign and to be able to do so under God's grace and blessing. I remember well a retreat I went on one time. It was led by a bishop of the church, and it was very helpful to me because sometimes I would get very passionate over one thing or another, and this bishop was voicing his frustration sometimes with guiding the clergy of the church, because sometimes he'd have a priest so sure that they were following the will of God that they would identify almost totally with Jesus and regard themselves as persecuted by everybody else, and that they would regard it as their cross, and that they were liable to be crucified just as Jesus was. And this bishop was saying, he says, I'm trying to guide this person into understanding their call to labor for the gospel and to build up God's kingdom. But sometimes they are so much on their own path, it puts me in an odd position. He says, if they are Jesus, he says, then as their bishop, who am I? Pontius Pilate? And could see in that almost, you know, an over-identification with the rightness of what they were about. And then I had to get a little more humble about myself and realize that sometimes I needed to back up and back down and sort out whether it was God's reign I was pursuing or something of my own. And sometimes the rebuffs I would have were not persecution. They were not coming at me for anything. It was the fact that I needed a course correction. And then in getting that course correction, I could be on a more faithful path following Jesus, who was the one who went to the cross. And then the sufferings that were there fell more or less into line with the resistance that might be there for pursuing the reign of God. Took a little discernment, took a little sorting out. But we're emboldened that the call to Moses was there when he saw the burning bush. The bush was not destroyed by the presence of God in the flame. Moses was called to serve and had the power of God in him and with him and behind him. And his inadequacies were more than made up by the presence of God. It's like, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God says, I'll be with you. Who do I say is going to send me? I am who I am. Okay. Existence itself, I am who I am, and the God of my ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and your mamas too, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel. I am the God of all of you. And in doing so, I will empower you to be my servant. And maybe we not shrink that Jesus then turned his face toward Jerusalem. The crowds would need to learn. They would be greatly thinned. The disciples themselves would drop away. And then after the resurrection, they would recover into a new vision of what it means to labor for the reign of God, transforming this world into its created intention, aspiring to bring God's reign on earth and ultimately into fruition in God. But today, Jesus sets his face toward Jerusalem. He would undergo great suffering and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And it is for us to set our mind on divine things, not human things, in order to be God's followers. Amen.